Article believes in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices too. Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs make furniture shopping simple. Article's team of designers are all about finding the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. They're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and looks good doing it. I have Article beds, coffee tables, sideboards, an Article dining set. I was just perusing the site because we're doing up the outside and need some patio furniture. We haven't decided what item yet, so check it out. Tell me what I should buy. I'm sure whatever you pick out for me will be great. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. They're having their Memorial Day sale from May 13th to May 27th, which would be the perfect time to use your store credit on top of sale prices. To claim, visit article.com/99 and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/99 for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. You know when you notice something for the first time and suddenly it's everywhere? My friend Julie Shapiro has a thing for personified teeth on dentist signs, where the cartoon tooth often has a smile and teeth of its own. I always notice these now. That and anthropomorphized pigs who are selling themselves as barbecue, that always gives me the creeps. And one day I noticed that sign stores, you know, the ones that print homemade banners and posters for you, always, without fail, have the ugliest collection of signs with horrible fonts in their front windows. Now I can't pass one on the street without taking a picture to document the ironic tragedy. Lots of things are like this for all of us on staff. We can get obsessed with tiny little design flourishes. And this is what happened to producer Avery Truffleman.
It was just a shape.
A basic little shape.
It's rendered in concrete on a building by my house. It's patterned in an office doorway down the street.
Here's what it looks like. Imagine a simple, stylized four-leaf clover, flattened, with no stem. Very symmetrical.
I took a walk and I found this shape in 10 different places. It was embroidered on bedding. It was plastered on wallpaper. It was patterned in a public garbage can.
You'll see it anywhere you see great Gothic Revival building. The Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York, the Washington Cathedral. You will also see it in domestic architecture in the great, as they're called, cottages down in Newport, Rhode Island.
Here in California, it's a hallmark of mission-style homes.
You know, it's like a sponge. It just sucks up meaning however you want it to be used.
This is Christy Anderson.
My name is Christy Anderson. I'm an architectural historian, and I teach at the University of Toronto.
And she's talking about the quatrefoil, this four-leaf clover-like shape.
There's nothing that I can think of like the quatrefoil, which appears in so many different forms over such a long period of time. It could be endlessly reinterpreted and re-understood, I mean, in something which architectural and art historians sometimes refer to as iconographical drift. It's constantly sort of shifting depending on where it's used, who's using it, what purpose they're using it for.
But no matter where it's used, it implies the same thing, fanciness.
And this fanciness symbol is very basic.
To reiterate,
the shape is like a four-leaf clover would be in its simplest form.
You can pronounce it the French way if you would like.
Quatre feuilles.
Meaning four leaves.
But the American pronunciation works too. It's hard to know for sure why the quatrefoil is the global fancy shape.
There aren't that many resources on the subject.
There's nothing on it. You know, nobody's really worked on it.
But Christy Anderson is a good person to connect the dots.
I rummaged around and I looked and I just started sort of thinking about it. Now, one of the questions is, where does it come from? I mean, because things don't just usually appear out of nowhere.
Christy Anderson says that just by looking at the shape, you can see it has roots in Islamic or Moorish architecture.
That kind of organic shape that comes out of a geometrical form, almost all of them have some kind of Islamic origins, partly because of the great mathematicians who were working on early Islamic architecture.
And the quatrefoil made its way to Europe via the Silk Road.
Through small objects which could be transported with early carpets, velvets, and silks that were brought into Europe as luxury objects.
Once the quatrefoil made its way to Europe, it was incorporated into tracery, which is the stone framework for big stained glass windows.
And quatrefoil-shaped stone frames were considered beautiful because the quatrefoil was difficult to make.
The fanciness of the shape is because it requires a certain amount of mathematical skill, but also craftsmanship. You know, they could have used much simpler forms. They could have used simple diamond forms. You're seeing something which really shouldn't be made out of stone. I mean, it's hard. It's a hard and difficult form to carve out of stone.
So it only appeared in places that could afford them, like churches.
And because it appeared in churches, this simple shape could take on Christian meaning. Just think of anything in the Christian tradition that comes in a set of four.
The four evangelists.
Or a variation on a cross.
It's a Greek cross with equal arms on all sides. I'm sure people who use the quatrefoil now will not sit there and recount to you this long thing that I've recounted to you about Islam and metalwork and all of this.
If you Google the image, you'll find a lot of modern interior designers talking about the trendiness of the quatrefoil.
I was just amazed. I found like about seven interior designers who said, the quatrefoil is the shape and I'm using it on my wallpaper and all these things. And I thought, what do they think they're doing actually when they're doing this?
My name is Brooke Taylor, and I am an interior designer at ArcSign Architecture.
You work two desks away from me.
I do.
We work inside ArcSign, an architecture firm in Oakland.
Brooke is designing the interior of a big hotel in Palo Alto. I asked her about the quatrefoil when I saw a picture of a quatrefoil-shaped table on her desk.
I believe what you saw was an end table that we're using, where it's the barbed quatrefoil, and it's basically the shape of the tabletop.
Brooke says quatrefoil, which is also a correct pronunciation.
And her design for the lobby has a lot of quatrefoils in it, or quatrefoils.
Here's a rug that we're using in the lobby that is literally overlapping quatrefoils.
And Brooke actually didn't do this intentionally.
I didn't even realize until, well, basically just now, that that quatrefoil table is going to be on the overlapping quatrefoil rug.
And close by, there's also a chair with quatrefoil fabric.
It just happened that way.
The quatrefoil just has an appeal.
It is, at heart, a very simple shape, but somehow there's just a formality to it. You can tell that there's a history behind it, even if you don't know what it is. You can tell that it's out of history somewhere, and so to then take that and reinterpret it into a modern form, I think has appeal for people.
But the way we see the quatrefoil in modern interior design is not referencing Gothic tracery directly. Surprise, surprise.
The quatrefoil shape first came back in style in a big way in the 19th century during the Gothic Revival period.
This was when the Industrial Revolution was in full swing. People were seeking style inspiration from the pre-industrial era and kind of hearkening back to a simpler time.
The Gothic Revival movement was also around the time of the Egyptomania craze, when new archaeological digs were popping up all around the world.
It was all very new. It was like, oh my God, they just discovered these tombs in Egypt and uncovering Roman ruins and Greek ruins, bringing all of those influences in and also reviving some interest in Gothic architecture.
Designers were looking to the past and around the globe for inspiration. They traveled, photographing, sketching, digging into archives and collecting patterns, motifs, and shapes that they found inspiring.
And they would publish these findings in so-called pattern books.
In the second half of the 19th century,
historian Christy Anderson again.
there was a kind of flourishing of architects and designers who created pattern books of designs, which could be used by architects, masons, craftsmen, really in any field. So it didn't matter whether you were doing painting or tile work. These were encyclopedias of design, of which the most famous one was The Grammar of Ornament, which was published by a man named Owen Jones.
Owen Jones was an architect who took a special interest in ornament and pattern.
I mean, if you've never seen Owen Jones's books, they are so beautiful.
It's a big book.
His book, The Grammar of Ornament, has pages and pages of pure pattern.
And then, you know, some text intervening, but for the most part, it's just colorful squares of pattern.
From buildings all over the world.
I mean, you've got India, you've got Chinese, you have Moorish, Celtic, Turkish.
Like an Epcot tour of wallpapers.
Owen Jones's book sort of transformed the whole way in which design was created, because now you had these patterns which were completely disconnected from their original function. They were just forms printed on the page.
Many of the forms across many of the cultures Jones documented were quatrefoils.
It was particularly Owen Jones's work, The Grammar of Ornament, where the quatrefoil had a very important place, was part of a number of different pages on ornament, was repeated over and over again, and certainly sort of spurred on the interest in this form in the later 19th and early 20th century.
And designers still use these pattern books for inspiration.
Number 18 on this page? I mean, that looks like something that somebody would have done in the 60s. And
it's kind of pattern. Marimekko.
Yeah. But no, Renaissance.
And it would seem that Jones succeeded in his mission for his book. He hoped The Grammar of Ornament would provide context and background for these patterns, and that they would be a source of inspiration, which anyone and everyone could use.
But today, part of the quatrefoil's fancy symbolism comes from the modern luxury brands that have associated with it.
Many of which are clamoring to own it.
Louis Vuitton had a lawsuit over use of the quatrefoil. Luxury jeweler David Yurman trademarked the word quatrefoil. Another jewelry company, Van Cleef & Arpels, is fiercely litigious over its claim to the shape.
There is a power about this simple form, which is everywhere, and yet it has no steady associations with any specific country or movement. And this is what separates it from other ornamental forms like the fleur-de-lis or even the swastika.
I mean, Middle Ages. Seriously, there are patterns from the Middle Ages in here. And you see the barbed quatrefoil. How could you copyright that?
The best thing about The Grammar of Ornament are the pages and pages of beautiful pattern. But Jones's brief introduction is also really interesting. In it, Jones lists 37 propositions for the creation of good decorative design.
General principles in the arrangement of form and color in architecture and the decorative arts, which are advocated throughout this work.
I imagine most people just skip right over these and get to the pretty stuff.
It's an interesting mix of statements in these propositions.
Proposition 4 is almost philosophy, you know?
Absolutely. True beauty results from that repose which the mind feels when the eye, the intellect, and the affections are satisfied from the absence of any want. That is extremely philosophical. And then you have something as basic as Proposition 26, colors on white grounds appear darker, on black grounds lighter.
But I think Proposition 13 unlocks the logic behind the inherent attractiveness of the quatrefoil.
Flowers or other natural objects should not be used as ornaments, but conventional representations founded upon them, sufficiently suggestive to convey the intended image to the mind, without destroying the unity of the object they are employed to decorate.
Or to translate.
It's basically like, don't just put a bird on it.
Flowery designs don't necessarily look good. According to Jones, the best kinds of designs imply nature, while keeping with
Proposition 8, all ornaments should be based upon a geometrical construction.
The quatrefoil is both geometrical and natural, but without being too flowery. And this just might be what attracts designers to it over and over again, and keeps it forever floating around us in iconographical drift.
My boys were born in a quatrefoil-shaped building in Chicago, the Prentiss Women's Hospital at Northwestern. The whole building is in the shape of a quatrefoil, as seen from above. It was cool looking, but according to the people at Northwestern, it was a pretty impractical shape for a modern research hospital. So it's been demolished. A lot of people, including myself, were sad to see it go. A Save Prentice group tried to get the building landmark status. Petitions were circulated, but the effort ultimately failed. But I think it's safe to say that no one would have cared at all if the building was not shaped like a quatrefoil. Ninety-9% Invisible was produced this week by Avery Truffleman with Katie Mingle, Sam Greenspan, and me, Roman Mars. We are a project of 91.7 Local Public Radio, KALW, in San Francisco, and produced out of the offices of ArcSign, a brilliant architecture firm in beautiful downtown Oakland, California.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations. And they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation. If thinking about salsa in a variety of delicious flavors and heat levels makes your mouth water, you need to check out Green Mountain Gringo. With the medium salsa, you get hearty chunks of tomatoes, tomatillos, peppers, and onions in every scoop. The hot salsa brings flavorful heat to every meal, with each bite containing jalapenos, serrano peppers, and other savory herbs. Plus, they've got a hot sauce with a tangy, spicy flavor that enhances the simplest of meals. We've been going through a really big cheese quesadilla phase in our house. I don't know why. Every kid wants one. So I cracked open the medium salsa to make everyone happy, and I'll save the hot one just for me. Visit greenmountaingringo.com and start shopping. Use the store locator to find Green Mountain Gringo products, get inspiration for recipes, and purchase products using promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off. That's promo code PODCAST24. Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels features locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. That's what I like. I like to be within walking distance of all the stuff. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. With so many hotel brands, Choice Hotels allows you to prioritize what you need. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Better work presentations are possible. They're called Canva presentations. You can supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. Just start with a prompt, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. Or start with a stunning template and add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from their massive media library. You save time and wow your audience. There's a reason why Canva is used by 90% of the Fortune 500 companies. So nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations by heading to canva.com. Designed for work.
You can find this show and like the show on Facebook. All of us are on Twitter, Instagram, and Spotify. But to find out more about this story, including cool pictures and links, and listen to all the episodes of 99% Invisible, you must go to 99pi.org. Radiotopia.